Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to India Glycols Q4 and full year conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Jain.
Thank you, Rochelle. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining on India Glycols Limited Q4 and full year FY22 results conference call. We are joined on this call with India Glycols management, represented by Mr. Roopak Saraswat, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Anand Singhal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sanjeev Gurwara, President, Marketing, Mr. SK Shukla, Head, Liquor Business, Professor Dr. R.K. Khandan, President, R&D and Business Development, Mr. Ankur Jain, Head, Legal and Company Secretary. I would like to invite Mr. Roopak Saraswat to initiate the proceeding with his opening remarks, post which we will have an opportunity to go into Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sanjesh, and a very good afternoon to everybody. Thank you for joining us, and I hope all of you are doing well. As Sanjesh has already introduced, I have some of my colleagues here who would also be participating and taking some of the questions. I'm happy to take this opportunity to speak to you about our full year results. Ever since we started to present to investors, I think around August of last year, this is our first call after a full year. You all have the presentation with you, I suppose. Let me take a little bit of time giving you highlights for the last year. If you see for IGL, I would say that it has been a resilient performance in a rather challenging year with our gross turnover at 6,623 crore, up 22%. A net turnover of 3,104 crore, up 3%. The big difference in our case in terms of the net turnover and gross turnover, as you know, arises because of the high excise duty on ethanol. The EBITDA at 298 crore is down 28%, and I'll explain why. One of the reasons why our EBITDA and to some extent sales, or to a significant extent sales are also impacted. As you know, the bio-EO-based business is something that we transferred to the IGL Clariant JV on the 30th of June 2021, which means that for 9 months of this year, we didn't have the numbers for the bio-based EOD business, which have now been taken into the joint venture. We've had, given the circumstances, a healthy gross margin of about 9.6%, a PAT of 340 crore. Of course, it has the impact of the formation of or transfer of the business to the JV as well. As you can see, significant revenue and margin growth, and I will talk about it a little later, particularly in the BSPC or what we call the bio-based specialties and performance chemicals business. There was some impact of the shutdown in 2021. Of course, it was planned. What has really impacted the business or has been a big challenge for us is unprecedented feedstock and energy cost escalations, which as you know, has impacted many manufacturers and particularly us in some ways. If you look at the quarterly results, the gross turnover at 1,494 crores is down 18%. Net turnover, 642 crores, down 34%. EBITDA, 84 crores, down 35%. Good margins of 13.4%, given how we've been operating. The reason why these comparatives are seeing a drop is primarily because of the transfer of the business to the joint venture, which means on a quarter-to-quarter comparison, in the comparative earlier quarter, the JV business was with IGL or the specialty EOD business was with IGL. For this year's quarter, it's not with IGL. I think that's the prime reason for the numbers that you see. If you look at the results for the continued business, you will see a gross turnover of 6,601 crores, up 22%. Net turnover of 2,868 crores, up 24%. EBITDA down 2% at 277 crores. EBITDA margins of 9.6%. Which is more reflective of the business we have right now, where we've seen healthy growth in all three segments in a rather challenging environment, which is, you know, all three segments include BSPC, portable spirits, and a smaller one, which is Nature Biopharma. And there has been a combined effect of increase in feedstock and energy costs, which has put pressure on operating margins and had also started to, impact our ability to get more sales, and that is also somewhat seen. And if you look at the quarterly performance for the continued business, gross turnover of 1494 crores, down 7%, net turnover 642 crores, down 15%, EBITDA of 84 crores, down 13%, and the EBITDA margin of 13%. In the fourth quarter in particular, we have seen slower growth, which has been an impact of COVID, while India has significantly recovered. But, you know, the COVID impact throughout the world still stays, particularly as you would have heard of shutdowns in China, which means our inability to sell in China, issues with trade and supply chain, etc. The sharp increase in feedstock prices for us has continued, and I will talk about it a little later. And remember that when we look at this, we are looking at, a business where the EOD business has moved on to the joint venture. Very quickly taking you through the highlights other than the numbers for the year. As you know, we formed a joint venture with Clariant for the bio-based EOD business effective 30th of June. The transition has been completed as per plan, and we believe that the JV is functioning quite well. One thing that I am happy to inform you about is the Global ISIS Award for Sustainability, which we got together with our partners Unilever and LenzaTech. This is the work that we've been doing on the carbon smart products front. These are completely unique and new technologies which are coming up, and we are happy that IBL was a part of this. I already spoke about the escalation in costs. As you know, we had also raised capexes for grain-based bioethanol plants in Gorakhpur and Kashipur. Both the plants are nearing completion, and they will be commissioned, we expect, in Q2, and we'll keep you updated on the same. We've also been working on new value-added chemicals. So we have worked with our new product development and innovation group, working very closely for the last 8 to 9 months to look at new value-added chemicals that we will be working on. So we've already identified the phase 1, and CAPEX for that has already been approved. A significant part of what was our R&D setup actually went to the joint venture. So, we have then taken on ourselves to set up another R&D center, which has already got DSI recognized, and we are strengthening R&D over there. In the Nature Biopharma business, we doubled our nicotine capacity from 60 to 100 tons per month. And we also got our first certificate for EU Pharmacopoeia for thiocolchicoside, which will allow us to sell or provide better access, particularly to the European markets. In terms of broad sectors that we cater to, the biggest one, of course, is bio-based specialties and performance chemicals. I'll just take you through the segment-wise highlights. We believe we saw an excellent bounce back in sales as well as margins in bio-based specialties and performance chemicals. Bio-MEG business for us is getting more diversified from primarily being led by one customer. You know, we've managed to get several, or, you know, nearing now well above 10 to 15 customers in developed economies for bio-MEG. So despite one of our major customers' offtake being low, we've been able to maintain our volumes and margins or increase actually in the exports business. We've seen excellent growth in specialty green solvent and biopolymers this year. And as I mentioned, it is for the bio-based specialties business that we've also approved an investment proposal, what we call as NSU Phase 1, which is New Specialty Unit Phase 1. I must mention here that when I say New Specialty Unit, it implies that these are value-added products other than what have already been transferred to the joint venture. So there's a clear segregation, and these products are not that we are competing with the joint venture with. These are new, these are different, and they will be done solely by IGL. And as I mentioned, the grain waste and biofuel and ethanol projects are in progress, which we expect going forward will help us improve the competitiveness of our specialties and performance chemicals as well. In potable spirits, you know, we saw overall healthy sales growth for the year. However, margins have been significantly impacted due to the sharp escalation in ethanol costs. And as you know, it is a rather tedious process to get price increases in the liquor business, which are significantly controlled by the government. It's a long process. However, we managed to get some price increases, and we will also be far more competitive once we start using our grain-based ethanol manufactured in-house. We've maintained our leadership position in the branded country liquor segments in UP and Uttarakhand. There has been a change in policy in Delhi, the excise policy, and we believe that it is something that we should look at, and we are looking at as a growth opportunity for our portable spirit business. We have also launched two brands, significant brands in IMFL, making a small but steady steps in the IMFL space with the launch of Amazing Vodka and Single Reserve Whiskey, and Tejas Gold, a sweet mango flavor in branded country liquor space, and we are the first of its kind. In NHA Biopharma, we see moderate growth and margins. However, margins have been under pressure, particularly because of some of the policy changes in some of the countries that we were exporting to. The business continues to focus on diversification to reduce the dependence on higher glucoside, which has been achieved to some extent this year, while maintaining market share for higher glucoside. The nicotine capacity, which is nicotine which goes for therapeutic uses, has been doubled, and I already talked about the CEP certificate. Whilst you may have heard about it from many other people, but it's very important to understand the impact of the operating environment that we are in. So there has been, as you know, a high degree of uncertainty in the macroeconomic environment. The COVID impact continues in global and domestic markets, off late, the shutting down of China, etc., etc. Then there is this Russia-China war, which does impact us in many ways. It impacts us because it impacts energy costs. It impacts us because Ukraine is also a big producer of food grains. And when it impacts food grains, it impacts other bio-based substrates, and therefore molasses or grain-based ethanol. And as you probably know, there has been very sharp escalation in the imported ethanol costs for us. And which comes to my next point, which is about unprecedented increase in input costs faced by the industry, faced by our suppliers, faced by our customers. I mentioned ethanol. There has been a drastic increase in energy costs in coal. So coal, which was something like 5,500 rupees a ton, it is now averaging out to more than 12,000 rupees a ton, mainly because we have having to procure coal from the private players, and because they are not getting the allocated coal from the government. And of course, unprecedented increase in freight costs sharply has impacted our competitiveness for the export business, be it in the area of biopolymers or green solvents and so on. However, having talked about the challenging operating environment, it will not be fair if I don't touch upon some of the positives. And there is, obviously, you are aware of COP26, and you are aware of what the government of India has been doing. A significant thrust on sustainability by the government as well as industry. Those, we believe, provide significant, definitely medium to long-term opportunity for our business. For bio-based products, for greener products, and for biofuels as well. Demand for our products, we believe, as far as the Indian market is concerned, the Indian growth story is intact, and once some of these challenges are sorted out, we would be able to, benefit from that as well. Coming to the financial summary, which you would have seen, but I will just request my colleague, Mr. Anand Singhal, to very briefly touch upon the highlights.
So Q4 revenue for operations is 642 crores against 752 crores of last year corresponding quarter, showing a decrease of 14.6%, while the EBITDA for the current quarter is 84 against 97 of the last corresponding quarter, showing 12.8% negative or lower. Apart from this, if I will say PBT, we have got a 32 crores PBT for the current quarter against 56 crores of the Q4 last year, showing 43% lower, while EPS is 21.7 vis-a-vis 22.7, showing 5.5% lower. If I will say for the year, the revenue from operations for the year for 22 is 2868 crores against 2317 crores, showing an increase of 23.8%. EBITDA is 277 against 283 crores of the last year, showing 2.3% lower than the last year. PBT is 369 crores against 120 crores. This includes the profit against the slum sale of the EOD business, showing 206% up. And EPS for the year is 109 rupee vis-a-vis 42.5 rupee in the last year. So then the profitability part on the PBT and the EPS is showing healthy growth because of the sale of the EOD business. So this is the brief of the results.
Yeah, and coming to the segment performance, as I had mentioned, one of the highlights for the year was the excellent bounce back of the bio-based specialties and performance chemicals business, with a revenue up 32% and EBITDA up 82%. Remember that what was considered the more profitable specialties business has already become a part of the joint venture. So given that, I think this was a real highlight for the year. The portable spirits business continued with a growth momentum, with a growth of about 8.1%. But for the reasons that I mentioned, the sharp increase in ethanol costs and packaging material costs and the relative difficulty and the long process of getting price increases, we saw a suppression of EBITDA. However, we are confident going forward that we should be able to pull our margins up quite significantly. The NHL biopharma business, modest growth with about 3.7%. And for the reasons I mentioned, which is, change in policy in some of the export markets where some of the benefits on, pharmaceutical APIs like these were reduced, we saw a margin compression, which is for NHL biopharma. And I think that's all that I have in terms of the quick update on the quarterly results and the yearly results. Other than that, you would see a bit of an overview on the company as a part of the presentation deck, which you would have already received. So, thank you. This is all from me. Over to you for your questions and our discussion.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time may press star and then one on their touchtone telephones. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Bajrang Bafna from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for the decent set of numbers during the quarter. Despite the fact that we have seen multiple, headwinds in terms of, rising commodity prices and especially the coal, which has also impacted our performance. So just to going into you know, the new financial year where you have multiple tailwinds which are there for your you know, company right now, one of them is the you know, the grain based distillery which is just you know, going to come up and going to, you know, have some sort of margin accretion which should be visible to us. So if you could guide us, you know, what sort of you know, benefits that you are seeing from the you know, the grain based distillery. And one more thing which is in the minds of investors community is the fact that you know, since it is a grain based distillery and availability of grain at this point of time is pretty much hiatus, and globally we are seeing sort of food crisis and the prices of most of the agro commodities are moving up. So how we are insulated, how we are going to get our grain, at what cost, what sort of you know, benefit, cost benefit that we are going to get from this business will be really appreciated. And my second question pertains to you know, the basically the green chemistry which is taking the center stage in most of the companies, and there is a whole lot of developments which are happening you know, in that direction. So what sort of you know, guidance that you could give us in terms of EO derivatives, you know, which is you know, the India Glycol is embarking upon over next 3-4 years, what sort of revenue through this EO derivatives we could see. So just to begin with, these two questions will be really appreciated. Thank you.
But then, good afternoon, you know, clearly again, this is Rupat here, and thank you for your good comments as well, and as you said, we expect to have some tailwinds in the coming years, and we also expect that the huge amount of headwinds that we have seen this year, some of them will fade away. But having said that, the first question that you raised was on availability of grain and the benefits of a grain-based distilling project. It's a good year in a way to test the resilience and the robustness of the IGL model. To some extent, we believe that in that sense we have an advantage. And I like to put it this way, that look, as far as the ethanol value matrix is concerned, it becomes 3x3 for us, which means that we have 3 potential sources of bio-based ethanol, an important ingredient as far as bio-based chemicals are concerned. So we could either import bio-based ethanol, which we have done from time to time based on the economic advantage. We could do it from molasses, as IGL has done for a long time. And now we could do it based on grain, which is the new thing that is coming up, and it is definitely being encouraged by the government for multiple reasons, including the government's push for Atmanirbhar Bharat, the government's push for reducing the foreign exchange outgo for crude, the government's push for making sure that the farm sector incomes increase, and also the push to make sure that you know, the damaged grains that are lying with us are utilized in a value-added manner. So there are enough driving factors which are considered not only by me, but the government of India, to actually publish a biofuel policy and download it. And the entire analysis of why it makes sense for India has been put in there. That's the analysis of the government of India. And therefore the need to drive biofuels, which is one of the drivers for, you know, grain-based ethanol. Coming back to my point of 3x3 value-added metrics for ethanol, one side we have 3 potential sources of ethanol, and on the other side, we have 3 potential applications or usages for ethanol. As I said, bio-based specialties and performance chemicals 1, portable spirits 2, and biofuels 3. So we are only in some senses in a better position. Yes, coming back to your point on grain, first of all, the entire, at least as I understand, significant thrust of the biofuel policy is on damaged grain stocks lying with the godowns in India. So it's not about all grain, maybe that is also available based on the production, but it is based on damaged food grain. In fact, as far as I understand, the government bodies are still pushing for people to make ethanol and supply more and more for blending. Whilst it may be not right for me to stand up and say nothing wrong will happen, because if you look at the last 1 or 2 years, nothing that was, you know, could have ever been imagined had happened. But if you look at from where I look at it right now, I have elements of risk, but there are also elements which are positive from an ideal perspective. So in the medium term, I would not worry too much about it. But having said that, you know, there are some exceptions which happen in the macroeconomic environment or in nature. COVID, for example, which you cannot plan for. Now, coming to your second point on green chemistry, you know, we had been talking to you about saying we want to enter more value-added chemicals. And, you know, happy to share that though in a small way, I think a capex investment of 40 to 50 crores has already been approved. And that's the unit that we'll be, installing and commissioning in this financial year. So obviously we've identified a few products, and in fact we have some of the initial orders already with us. You know, we are working with several big customers, and this one that we are talking about is in the oil and gas space sector for a big company being supplied to the US, and we hope to continue to build in several other areas, which includes plasticizers, carbon smart products, amines, green solvents and biopolymers, etc. So that's on green chemistry. We realize that on one hand, we will make opportunity of doing everything that we are doing in terms of putting grain-based ethanol, making our existing products more competitive, changing their value proposition, but also in a slow and steady manner, focusing on adding new value-added chemistries.
Got it. So, sir, just to, based upon our earlier statements of last few quarters, the availability of grain is not a bigger challenge at this point of time, since we are starting both the units right now, and the earlier statement of, close to, 600 crore kind of revenue and 20 to 25% kind of EBITDA margin stays intact, because now we have all the numbers with us, in terms of grain sourcing, pricing and the market price of ethanol and the benefits that we are going to get out of it, whether we supply to government or use it internally. So those stays intact. So that was the, intention to ask this question, because now we are very close to starting the unit.
Absolutely. I agree that so far they are intact. In fact, somebody was asking me about how much of what you will do, how much are you going to buy from outside, how much are you going to, make using molasses, how much are you going to make using grain, and how much of that will go into portable spirits, how much of that will go into chemicals, how much of that will you sell as ENA outside. So it introduces several variables. What I can say is that we have developed as a part of our planning process, a comprehensive scenario planning and optimization model, which we will be using immediately in near future as we start to get more and more our grain ethanol. And I'm aware of the grain prices which are right now. And based on the prices that we are seeing and availability that we are seeing, as of now that changes none of our assumptions that we had taken whilst we had raised these capacities.
Great to hear that. And just one add-on question on your, the liquor business. I think, there was some price hike which was expected from the UP government, and due to, sizable increase in cost, we are already seeing, the run rate, which was almost 40 crore kind of EBIT per quarter, has gone down to roughly 20 crore, in last two quarters. So any progress on that, and can we go back to the earlier trajectory, and if yes, by when, this is doable for us?
So I know that the price increases that we were expecting have happened. That is what I'm told. In terms of the overall impact, I think we need to work that out. I don't have the numbers ready with me, but I'm sure my finance colleagues can help you with that later. And just to give you a flavor, at current costs of grain, for example, and I may be a little off because I don't remember the exact calculation, the cost of ethanol would be something like rupees 40 a liter, compared to well in excess of 53, 54 rupees a liter when we were to buy molasses-based ENA. So that is clearly a cost gain that we will have as soon as we start to use grain-based ethanol for a portable spirit. And to answer your question, yes, we have got some price increases in the states that we had applied for.
Okay, got it, got it. Thank you very much, sir, and all the very best for all the, you know, mind-boggling initiatives that are happening in your company. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Vardhan. Thank you, Vardhan. You've been very encouraging. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants that you may enter star 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Bala from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my questions. Sir, regarding bio-based MEG, currently Coca-Cola, how much revenue, percentage of revenue giving in that segment? And how about the margins in MEG? What kind of realization right now for the quarter and full year? And what kind of markets you are targeting?
Bala, Bala, in terms of, you know, I don't recollect the precise numbers, but we are happy to share with you details later if you can send that question. But I will try and give you a qualitative.
Yes,
you know, as far as bio-MEG is concerned, you are right. Coca-Cola was our largest customer, and as I mentioned in the earlier part of my presentation, we've lost a significant part of that business. And we don't expect an immediate recovery of that business. And the reason for that is not that Coca-Cola has become less interested in green products. It is because there are mandates for them to start using recycled PET. However, Coca-Cola continues to engage with us for PET which is 100% bio-based if those kind of technology developments take place in future because people are working on those. Now, Coca-Cola used to be in excess of 80% of our business, if I understand correctly, just 2 years ago. However, having developed another 10 to 15 customers in Japan, Taiwan, and other places, our, as far as I know, our top line in bio-MEG this year has increased, and so have our contributions. So I think given a sharp fall in what was 80% of our business to now a diversified customer, you know, basket where we have in excess of 10 customers, I think this is a, you know, this steady momentum I will continue. Sanjeev, you would like to add?
Rupert has explained it well. So if I recall correctly, last year I think we had maybe 60% business from four and 40% from others. But now that is shifting, and I think we'll see that in the times to come from this financial year onwards. We have a bigger basket, and our reach is not only to the U.S., but it is to East Asia as well, where I think predominantly the vendors for manufacturing PET is China, Taiwan, Japan, Korea. I think these are the places we are making headway into. And I think this trend will be there. And one positive point about this is in because we were dependent on Coke in the earlier years, they had a preferential pricing, and with the number of customers increasing now, I think we have gone, the preferential pricing has gone, and we are trying to build with the model pricing model with better market.
Yes, sir. Sir, my next question, in branded country liquor segment, like you have presented increase in packaging in front of the customer, in front of the government, like what is the current status, whether the government approved for increase in packaging materials?
Can you just repeat your question? There was a little bit of noise there.
Sorry, sir. Sir, in terms of packaging cost and raw material cost, you have placed in front of government for increase in price, so which is expected to evaluate in February month. So what is the current status?
This,
Sorry, this is related to the liquor, na?
Yes, sir, sir. Branded country liquor.
That is what it is.
As I mentioned to you, you know, if you have a specific, if you need more details, send us an email. As I mentioned to you, as a result of the price increases, we have got some price increases. And on our end, we are also working on reducing costs. One of the key things being changing the ethanol to grain. Mind you, however, grain ethanol is not inferior. It's actually considered superior. But if you know, want to know specific details, I'm not very clear about your question. And I you know, forgive me, I may not have the precise details product by product. Send us an email, we'll respond to you.
Sure, sir. Sir, could you please, like, in terms of packaging costs, in terms of sales in branded country liquor, could you please, sir, packaging cost in terms of sales for branded country liquor?
I don't remember the packaging cost percentage for country liquor and how that has changed, but we'll take the question, we'll get back to you.
Fine, sir, fine. So, and one more question regarding that exercise policy in Delhi. So there is no change in that policy in last quarter, if I mentioned. So what kind of expectations in coming quarter?
So the excise policy has basically opened up, and you know, essentially the working capital that the companies are required to put up upfront is decreased, and which allows us to therefore have greater presence in many more outlets in Delhi, which itself has increased. Deepak, would you like to comment on that?
So what's happening right now is in the initial phases last year, what happened is there were approximately 900 plus outlets which opened up in liquor. But of late, what's happening is that the litigation has happened from the respective license have applied in the state. And what's happening is that because of the litigation, what's happening is some groups have shut down their businesses, and right now there are only 450 liquor outlets open in Delhi as of now we speak. So there are this is like a wait and watch game which is happening between the people who own the licenses to operate in Delhi, and so does our business is in direct correlation with the people who are operating in Delhi. So it's like a wait and watch game right now which is going on. The results are expected anytime in the first half of June. Post that, we will be in a good position to answer this particular question in a much more detailed manner for you.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I'll come back in.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers despite having challenges. So my first question is on the liquor segment. So we have added quite a few number of brands and launched new brands over the last 1 year. So how is the marketing strategy for our liquor business? We have indicated that probably we'll go in for some geographical expansion. So what is the roadmap that we are looking from a 3 to 5 year perspective? Thank you.
So just to answer your question, so along with, I mean, like increasing our footprint in UP and Uttarakhand, we've also entered with the similar brands in Delhi market as well. And going forward in this particular year, we're also in talks with the government of Rajasthan. We are trying to enter into MP as well. And there's one more state in the eastern side of India, which we are right now just opened up the initial paperwork. So in totality, we are looking to expand our brand food presence in 3 more states other than existing ones of UP, Uttarakhand and Delhi. So total 6 states we are looking into right now.
Right. Probably give the indication that the growth rate that we have seen over the last 2 years in this particular business will continue and probably can accelerate as well with the geographical expansion. Is that assumption right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And the another point is that we are not basically trying to position our company as a liquor manufacturer. We are most likely positioning it from a lifestyle perspective. So So the way to approach the markets is also going to differ from the existing ones in the market. And we've got our good plans in place in order to like go in with a different kind of an messaging with respect to the advertising part of the things. So that's that. These are the two things that we expect will amplify our sales as well as improve our go-to-market for the geographies that we have planned for this year.
Right. Got it. Thanks. The second question is on the new specialties unit. So we have given indication 43 crores of CAPEX or phase one CAPEX. If you could just provide a little more contours to it in terms of what will be the product basket that we are looking at and the application, and when can we expect this particular initiative to come to fruition? Probably just the first phase and later on how we want to take it forward. Thank you.
Rohit, if I heard you correctly, you are talking about the phase one investment in bio-based specialty. Just a second, there is a bit of a noise. So, as I said, we've already got the internal capex approved. For about 40 to 50 crores of that kind of spend, where we've already started doing the work, and we expect that by Q4 of this financial year, which is between January and March of 23, we would have these this unit commissioned. Maybe some bit of it even slightly earlier, but that's the time period where we have this commissioned. And subsequently, we are working, our FPDI group is working on several, idea tubes, so to say. Some of them I have talked to you about, which include carbon smart products, specialty amines, biopolymers, some plasticizers, because we already have products identified there which have been taken for the payback date for this. And subsequently, there are several other areas where we'll be building it. It's too premature to comment on beyond phase one. But that's how it is. But we are quite confident that we would be able to build a significant value-added chemicals business, primarily on the basis of sustainable chemistries and knowledge-based partnerships with our customers over the next 3 to 4 or 3 to 6 years, and it will be quite significant. That's what our plan is.
Right, got it. So just one clarification on financial numbers. So what will be the net debt at the end of FY22, and when are we likely to get the 190 odd crores from the Clarion deal, which was supposed to come in 1 to 2 years, and this year how the CAPEX would look like? Thank you.
So Rohit, can you please repeat? We couldn't get that clearly.
And speak slightly loudly, Rohit.
Yeah. Is it better, sir?
Yeah. Please continue.
Yeah. Right. So one is, what is the net debt at the end of FY22? And from the Clarion deal, we were supposed to get 190 crores. So when that money is likely to come, and FY23, what is the amount of CAPEX that we are planning? Thank you.
Rohit, regarding the net debt, it is around 1,000 crore at the end of the year 22. Regarding the 190 crores coming back from JV, is not clear when they are going to pay, because they are already paying the interest to us at the rate of 10%. Regarding the CAPEX for 22-23, we are already having two big capex of grain distillery, which includes the distillery boiler and turbine, which is say about 325 crores. Apart from this, the capex which Mr. Rupak Saraswat has just discussed regarding the new chemical project and some more capexes. So I will say for 22-23, the total CAPEX will be around 400 crores for the company.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot and best of luck.
Thank you, Rohit. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead. Mr. Kapoor, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. As there is no response from the line of this participant, we will move on to our next question, which is from the line of Makrant Madhukar Dilu from Makrant Dilu Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I want to ask one thing, that last time you informed that there is another 200 KLPD plant for Kashipur. You got the permission. So what is the progress for that?
I suppose you are talking about a grain-based ethanol plant, right?
Correct. Some additional new plant you got.
180 KLPD.
So let me clarify if that helps you. Right, yeah. Now we are in the process of putting two grain-based ethanol units. One of them, 110 KLPD in Gorakhpur. Another one, 180 KLPD in Kashipur, which I said is going to get commissioned over the next couple of months. Over and above that, we are in the process of evaluating whether it makes sense for investing more in this area. Once we've done our evaluation, made up our mind, we shall communicate that as well.
Okay. Now the other point was that what is the status of Shakambhari Sugar?
Means status, what you want to know about the status of Shakambhari Sugar?
I mean, status means last time it was said that you plan to disinvest and get some profits out of that.
Yeah, we are still in the same process and we'll let you know once it is through.
Okay. Okay, and there is 120 crore increase in power and fuel cost. So, how do we plan to reduce the same?
Actually, what is happening, the power and fuel cost is having the coal maximum. Although the quantity consumption of the coal has not gone up, but the prices has gone up from say about 6,000 rupees ton to 15,000 rupees a ton.
Yes.
So one, it is true because we are having no other option but to take coal as a fuel. We tried risers and of course operating generators, but somehow the power cost has not come down to the previous year level. So we expect coal prices, or we start getting the coal from NCL or CCL, then only the power and fuel cost will come down. Otherwise, we have no other option but to lift this kind of cost.
Okay. And only one request, sir. Digital presence of our company needs to be sharpened.
Sorry?
Can we do the same?
Yes. I cannot disagree with you at all. We need to improve the quality of our digital presence. We are working on it, and very soon you will see significant improvement in our website and some of the other things that we are doing.
Because our company is so much a product, and its presence will be very helpful. The Shakambhari point was that, sir, in the note it was written that during the year company has sold 242.5 lakh equity shares, and something note was given over here. So what is that?
Actually, India Glycols has disposed of say about 49% holding of Shakambhari Sugar, which is having a nil value or negative value. So at 5 paisa to one company, just to get some benefit out of the income tax as well as to get some funds out of these shares. So basically the main idea to get the income tax benefit on this.
Okay. The holding is with your company, correct?
India Glycols remains the holding company for Shakambhari.
Okay.
The holding pattern, 51% is still held by India Glycols Limited as a holdco.
see this entire offload will help India Glycol to find more suitable investors in a time to come, and transfer the liabilities along with the equity part. We'll appreciate the Shakyamuni's net value or the equity value is negative, so that is why this transaction is done at a 5%.
Okay, we got it. Yeah, thank you very much, and all the best for Amine's business also.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, we'd like to remind you that you may enter star 1 to ask a question. We will attempt to take the question from the line of Mr. Saket Kapoor again. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity, sir. And sorry for the earlier question. Hello?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, you can hear me?
Yes,
hello?
Yes, sir, we can hear you. Please proceed.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Sir, firstly, as it is seen that on a quarter-on-quarter basis, there has been a margin improvement in the specialty and the performance chemical segment. So, is this the sustainable margin or the factors that have contributed to the same? I was late to the call, so if you could, if it is for the sake of repetition, kindly explain once again. And on the distillery expansion update also, sir, we were earlier looking for June for the commissioning of the two distilleries. What is the update on the same?
In this environment, Saket, it's difficult to predict what happens to a margin where freight costs are up 10 times, energy costs are up 3 times, ethanol cost is up 60 to 70%. But having said that, if you look at these scenarios, and I would imagine that going forward, the challenges will not continue to become more difficult. At some point in time, they will have to be more reasonable than where they are. If that holds true, so, and the fact that there is a greater push and demand for sustainable products, that is as far as the operating environment is concerned. And we continue to look at opportunities to invest in and supply R&D-based, knowledge-based, value-added chemicals. I assume we would expect that our margins in the bio-based specialty performance chemicals business over a period of time should continue to improve, if not be sustained. That's what we are here for.
Yeah. So my question was on the premise that the effect of higher energy prices, coal and fuel and ethanol are already factored in for the March quarter. There is a substantial portion of this, and the numbers are better than what the December quarter were. So that was my reason whether we can, whether it, depending upon the current inflationary environment, the margins for the March quarter can be looked as a base or not. That was my point.
I think as of now, that's a fair assumption. We also had some, you know, headwinds. It's not that everything was tailwind. If you see my operating environment slide, I talked about the big challenges and I also talked about opportunity. For example, we were able to sustain, retain, increase our presence in bio-MEG. We got some new business in value-added chemicals. And for some of our green solvents, which were competing with butyl-based solvents throughout the world, the butyl prices were higher. So we were in a position to get business and also improve our margin. So we also had some headwinds. But your point about whether March is a fair representation of our margins in the current environment and going forward, I think whilst nobody can predict everything, it's a fair result.
And on the distillery expansion update, sir? The new
Sorry?
On the new distillery expansion update.
So maybe, Saket, we spoke about it. However, the update is that both our distilleries are nearing completion and in the next couple of months or in the coming quarter, we should be commissioning them.
Okay, and the raw material feed is both are grain based?
Yeah. Yes, they technically can be dual fed. So technically we can do molasses as well as grain and grain of different kinds in future. You know, right now nobody is talking about other grains. You know, there could be corn, there could be, I see longer term, maize to be a very interesting crop for India because rice one is very, very water thirsty and maize grows in much more rugged, climatic conditions. So yeah, it is.
Yeah.
We are in that sense a little future ready. We might be able to transform some of them into 2G based as well, you know, medium to long term.
Okay. Since I was sorry for repetition, but sir, how post the exit of the March quarter, how is the traction in the business environment for us, especially for our performance chemical and also for the portable spirit segment? If we could throw some more light on the same, and also how is the product pipeline looking for the biopharma segment? The performance has been muted, if I may use the term, for the last financial year. So, taking into account our engagement with the customers, how are you finding this biopharma segment to perform going ahead?
So, Sahib, Manish this side. So, first, I am taking your question with respect to the biopharma and for chemical. Also, good advice on this. But for this biopharma section, in this first quarter, we are expecting a growth as compared to the previous quarter and or same quarter last year is around 30-40% more than the same quarter last year and the previous quarter. Because, you know, as Rupak told in his presentation with respect to this, the growth in the nicotine segment and less dependability on the thiocolchico side. So right now, because of this scenario, the nicotine is the sale has been pushed for the nicotine, and we are expecting a growth of around 30% more.
Performance chemicals. Yeah.
Regarding this specialty chemicals and bio-MEG business, I think bio-MEG would see traction, and because the customer base which we have, I mentioned earlier, we have increased, I think those are taking shape now, and hopefully we can sustain the business or improve it by another 10-20% in the coming times. So that's efforts are being made. But as already pointed out, I think Deepakji also mentioned the costs which are there, especially the energy costs and the high sea freight costs. I think these are having some sort of a impact, and things would stabilize. So we have to, I think, keep in mind these developments also. So I think overall, if I see, it can lead to only a slight increase of 10-20% in the coming time, the business in bio-MEG. And in the space of solvents, biosolvents, I think this is that as a domestic market and the export markets, domestic markets would do well because there's a festival season ahead, and people, the paint companies, they prepared for it, so it should be better. And exports, apart from China, because that is a market which is at a very low at the moment, the other regions which we do is Southeast Asia and Middle East should be looking.
Right.
Yeah.
And
this is Deepak, I'll take your question for the liquor side of it. So
yes,
the thing is, in this current financial year, we are planning to improve our width of distribution. By width of distribution, I mean expanding our presence across the retail outlets in the states that we are operating right now. Right now, in vodka segment, we hold a market share of 5%, which we aim to take it to double down to 15% by the end of year. This is kind of an aggressive target we are taking in. Also in a whiskey segment, we are also trying to improve our market share in a similar range itself. In Uttarakhand, we have carried out below the line advertising campaigns because of the government regulations, which has resulted in a kind of like a sharp uptake of our brands across whiskey and vodka segments. And we are keeping a very close watch on the Delhi market because of the regulations which are there in the, because of the excise and the litigation between the licensees and the government of Delhi. And we are also like exploring our options of marketing campaigns in the states that we plan to enter, right? So I can't delve much into the details about the kind of an outlook that we are portraying for Q1, but yes, we do have a very aggressive plan to double down on the numbers that we are doing right now.
So, Saket, as you can see, I've got a very enthusiastic set of colleagues who I'm sure will continue to drive the business well. But if I have to kind of come in and say how our businesses are going to do overall, I guess we would continue to be optimistic about existing moderate growth this year. We believe that we've had a really tough year in terms of input costs, etc. And some of those headwinds are going to be milder, I suppose. And with certain other advantages like opportunities of growth in Delhi and the new specialties unit and the grain-based ethanol, we should be improving our margins as well. So, you know, take that as an overall flavor, if I may say so.
Correct, sir. And then if I have, two bookkeeping questions also. Firstly, about the cost of fund currently and our net debt level. Anand ji, could help me with it.
Cost of the fund for the company as of now is around 8%, which we are targeting to reduce it further. So regarding the debt, yes, we have a debt of say about 1,000 crores. As on 31st March 2022, including the working capital. And of course, planning to reduce subject to years. If a new capex or a high value capex comes, then we have no other option but to raise funds. Still, we are targeting reduction in cost of finance as well as the debt. That's what I can say.
The split can you give between 1,000 crore for working capital and long-term debt?
We have about 300 crores long-term fund, long-term loan, and $34 million of EPVG, which is again say about 230-240 crores and about 300 crores working capital.
300 crore working capital. And so when I look at the capital work in progress, that has gone up from 126 crore to 243 crore. That is precisely on the display units only, the investment made. And that will
last part is the distillery, because right now if you will talk about CWIP, so then we have say about 200 crores grain distillery which is in process. But the grain distillery overall cost will come say about 325 to 350 crores. So there will be an additional increase in the capex cost by say about 150 crores. Apart from this, we have some capex in pipeline, including a new chemical unit, as well as some more capexes. So there is some capexes for which either company will decide to raise the loan or will see whether to fund that from internal accruals.
Correct, sir. And on the liability portion, sir, there are two line items. Firstly, about this other finance liability and the other current liabilities. So they are all repayable in 12 months, 282 crore and 289 crore.
I will come back to you because I have not seen that 282 to 290. So what you can do, you can send me a mail. I will give you the reply.
Yes, yes sir. I'll get back to you.
Okay, sir, we'll do that and then we'll give you the reply.
Yes. Sir, lastly,
Mr. Kapoor, I'm sorry to interrupt. We have a few more participants in the
queue. Yes, ma'am. I will come in the queue, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. So some of my questions are already answered. Just two clarifications from one is on this our nutraceutical business. Just wanted to know that since we are guiding for 30% growth there, so is it from the existing capacity of the nicotine, because we are already working on few new product as well. So can you just elaborate the kind of growth we are expecting from this business with the kind of capacity going forward?
Rohit, you are talking about the herbal unit, NSFIFR.
Yes, yes.
if I understand correctly, Rohit, you want to know growth in sub-segments within Nature Biopharma. And while I think the broader story was we had challenges in thiocolchicoside, we maintained market share, so margins came under compression. Our strategy has been to diversify. So in the nicotine space, you know, we've grown quite significantly. We've doubled our capacity. That will continue to grow. And I don't have the precise product category-wise numbers. So if you could just write down an email, it will just make it easier for us to respond to you. You can send the email to
Okay, okay, sir. And one just sorry, I didn't get you, sir. Hello.
Yeah, please continue.
Just one suggestion on this power and fuel cost. I mean, as we are talking about higher coal prices and because of which our fuel cost has increased significantly. So just considering that we are focusing on green chemistry and we are supposed to be going in line with that concept, and are we focusing on something towards renewable energy procurement for our own captive consumption, or looking to set up any renewable thing there?
Yes, so to answer your question, the answer is yes. First of all, we use significant amount of energy in Uttarakhand is anyway hydro, which is green. We are working on nearly closing a contract on more green supplies, because not only from a cost point of view and business continuity perspective, but from the point of view of the carbon footprint of our product, it's important to us. We are working on evaluating certain options. We are close to closing a deal. As soon as that is done, we'll keep you informed.
Okay, okay. So near-term number in terms of the timeline, what maybe 1 month, 2 months, or it would be maybe larger than that?
We are talking about within the next quarter, so next couple of months.
Okay. And in sir, in the specialty chemical part, just wanted to understand, I think this quarter we have some lower trading volume. If we adjust this number, with the last year part, so can you give some sense on volume growth on the manufacturing business, and if at all possible to share the realization growth also?
Just give me a second whether I could respond to you now or later. I can only say that our core business, which is in terms of manufacturing, on a like-to-like basis, has actually seen better growth than what you see including the trading volumes. But I have to work on the calculation to see how much is it without that and so on. But you know, maybe you can send us an email and we'll respond.
Okay, sir. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Marshall, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. My question is for Mr. Anand Singhala. This is regarding, just to give you like a background here, we have seen that we lost our investment in Thakumbari. And I shouldn't mention here, but like being the part of the same group, like Jubilant Industry also lost a lot of investment in the, while putting money in the associates. So I just want to ask that in the balance sheet, we can see that our this other financial assets have increased substantially. So with whom this money has been passed? Like for example, non-current assets have increased from 47 crore to 112 crore to 65 crore increase. And the other financial assets under current asset increased from 51 crore to 188 crore, means 137 crore. So total 202 crore have been increased in other financial assets. So with whom it has been passed, and whether that is secured and recoverable or not.
What I will suggest to you, you send me the mail, I will give you the reply. Regarding the Thakumbari, you have some question?
No, I just made it as a background, but what I'm saying, which means you did not hear my question clearly. Let me repeat. My question is single. मतलब that मैं हिंदी बोलता हूँ आपके लिए. जो अपना other financial assets है in balance sheet के अंदर में, जो कि आपका non current assets और current assets दोनों में काफी बड़ा है. मतलब वो आपका देखिए non current assets में जो other financial assets है वो 21 मार्च 21 में 48 करोड़ था, जो कि 112 करोड़ हो गया है. मतलब ये 65 करोड़ बड़ा आपका है. सिमिलरली करंट सेट के अंदर में जो करंट सेट में B5 जो है अदर जो अदर फाइनेंस सेट है, जो कि लास्ट ईयर था 52 करोड़, इस बार 188 करोड़ हो गए, तो मतलब जो कि 137 करोड़ बड़ा है. तो व्हाट आई एम सेइंग, आवर अदर फाइनेंशियल असेट्स बोथ इन करंट असेट्स एंड नॉन करंट असेट्स हैव इंक्रीज्ड बाय 200 करोड़. सो आई वांट टू आस्क दैट दिस मनी हैज बीन पास्ड विद हुम, लाइक वेदर दिस विल बी रिकवर्ड और वी विल हैव अ सेम फेट लाइक व्हाट वी हैड इन एसआर कंपनी और सम अदर कंपनी फॉर एग्जांपल.
No, no, this is not like Shakumbhri. What I will suggest you to send me a mail, I will give you the reply. I am not having the data right now. So that's why maybe tomorrow or day after tomorrow I'll give you the reply or we'll talk.
Okay. And second thing was that means in tax expenses, while we have got current tax as a like sort of negative, like income 54 crore. So, does it mean that our tax provision for the previous quarter was not made correctly? So, why is it showing such a 54 crore? Because deferred tax, I understand. But first time in my life, I'm seeing that in current tax, we got 54 crore negative in this quarter.
So, that is basically the advantage to the company against the sale of shares and the write-off which we have taken under exceptional items. So that is the benefit for the current year on the current tax because of these two items.
No, but what I am saying that our deal has happened 6-9 months before. So why this positive bet has been taken in the March quarter? Why it was not taken in the September or June quarter whenever our deal with this client was finalized?
Very difficult to say that is to be done everything in the first quarter or the second quarter.
I did not say like this. What I am saying, Singhalji, what I am saying that is, when the deal was materialized, when we booked the profit in our in quarterly results, so in that quarter, the corresponding, whatever the tax advantage we have got, we should have done there, not in the last quarter when there is no transaction. Transaction has already happened 3 to 6 months before.
Any tax planning is for the year, not for the quarter. So whatever planning we have done, that is for the year. So, although the deal has happened on 30th June, but we can always make all kind of planning in 21-22. So, that's why whatever was remaining in the quarter 2 or quarter 3 has been done in quarter 4.
Singhalji, now we are in the which tax rate, 22% or 30%? New tax regime or old tax regime?
We are in new tax regime.
But we are into a new tax regime paying say about 25% tax.
25.17. And then what is this 18 crore negative in the exceptional item in the current quarter?
Exceptional item, we have taken a hit of the interest which is receivable from Shakumbhri and say about 18-19 crores on account of the slum sale. Because earlier that was under reconciliation and on 31st March it has been reconciled. So the total hit we have taken say about 39 crores, that is because of on those two parts.
And this is only tax adjustment purpose only, because the provision was already kept in the for the Shakumbhri Shakumbhri and all. And now it has been only written off in the as far as tax calculation is concerned.
Okay, that's okay. So my only
Mr. Marshall, I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. We are running short of time, and we have one last question. So can we please move on to the next person?
Just like I have a small thing here, madam, if you allow me, because like previously, like my dear participant have taken a lot of time. So just give me one thing, only 1 minute here. Mr. Singhal, when you mentioned that we are doing tax planning for full year, I fully agree on this one. But let me give you a very humble suggestion here, that although we are making tax planning for the full year, but at the same time, we are reporting four times in a year.
So tax provision cannot be like, you know, that is taken short or excess or lightly or like not lightly in the previous quarter, and we take the ultimate in the last quarter. This is not the right procedure. Because like when you are reporting profit, for example, September quarter, then you need to see, okay, that like whatever has already accrued till September, at least to that extent you need to provide for. If you just keep, okay, that maybe in the December quarter we will earn more or we will do less, okay, let's make less frozen here. This is not the right. In this way, like our reported profit for the previous quarter was not correct. So I humbly suggest that going forward, whenever we are reporting for June, September, December quarter, till that whatever transaction has happened, the full impact of those transactions must be taken in that quarter, not to be pushed to the March quarter, wherein there is no clearing deal in the March quarter. It looks really like a bit odd. Just like sorry for this bit upfront, because I can see that our profit has increased from 32 crore to 67 crore, which is not going to happen in the next quarter.
Your suggestion is well taken, but what will happen if the deal is under reconciliation? You want me to make all kinds of adjustments in the same quarter when the reconciliation is in profit?
Mr. Singhal, 54 crore cannot be passed in the last, cannot be deferred for the last quarter. 54 crore is a huge amount. If 5-10 crore, I fully agree, no problem. But like our, this clearance deal has happened 6 months before at least. So 6 months before the deal has happened, so why its impact of 54 crore is coming now? 54 crore is a huge amount, which is 150% of our PBT.
Sorry, I forgot your name.
Mr. Marshall,
there is a detailed discussion which is more of, detailed in how financial accounting is done and provisions are kept, etc., which I well appreciate. We learn from your questions. We learn from your difficult questions as well as the humble suggestions. My request is that you have an offline chat with Mr. Singhal. We are more than happy to indulge in that. But, we'll probably move on with this conference and take that later, please. Is that a fair request?
Thank you, sir. Mr. Marshall, may we request you to please take your questions offline with the management. Our last question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my question. For you from my side, first on the ethanol side, now the petroleum-based ethanol is in India is supplied by only one supplier and they are already running short of the capacity. And there is a huge opportunity in the ethanol derivative side, and we have rightly said that we are now investing more into the R&D side to strengthen it. Can you explain us that are we also exploring a lot of opportunity in ethanol-based derivative and also supplying ethanol to the local consumers of the ethanol?
So, Sanjay, I'll take the second question first. And if you remember, I talked about a complex matrix of how we will play around with our ethanol input side and output side. And yes, it is so dynamic that we've actually worked on a scenario planning model which will run on a recurring 3-month rolling basis on a monthly basis and decide where do we optimize the ethanol that we're producing. And yes, one of the options could be to sell ethanol to various people, which includes biofuels, obviously, which includes other beverage manufacturers who also buy ethanol. In fact, we sell ethanol even outside of India, the beverage grade ethanol, what we call as ENA. And your first question was regarding,
ethanol-based derivative.
Right.
And R&D into developing the product.
Yes. The obvious answer to your question is a big yes. You know, we have our strength in bio-based ethanol and Italy, and the ethanol that we make is of extremely high purity because unlike people who make ethanol for beverages, we make ethanol which goes through catalyst systems, extremely expensive catalyst systems, which can poison catalyst systems. So yes, we would be looking at various ethanol derivatives. You are aware of the entire ethyl chain, but yeah, we want to do it by evaluating each one of them and then developing markets. Not only, you know, there are commodity things in the ethyl market as well. So not only based on that, but more value-added products. But as we set up our plant, if there are certain spot opportunities for some of the commodity ethanol-based solvents, for example, we will take them. So the answer to your question is obviously yes.
Mr. Jain, do you have any other questions?
No, no, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir, for answering that patiently.
Thank you. Our last question, sir, is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Sir, I missed your expansion plan on the, I think, to the amine chemical. How much are we planning to put on this expansion, sir, and what would be the gestation period for the same?
So, Saket, look, we have just started investing in a number of areas which are building blocks for setting up a new value-added chemical business, which includes pilot plants, which includes R&D, and we are convinced of a first investment throw of about 40 to 50 crores, of which several product categories are being looked at. Now, this is not like a polyester investment where you plan a big investment and you jump. This is something which is iterative. So we are looking at these areas. Some products are already in the lab stage. We are working with our partners. And one of the product categories is also specialty amine. And it is not that there is a unique investment of, I cannot give you a specific single amine-based capital investment right now. But hope, you know, if it grows as a business segment in future, we'll be able to share more details. You would appreciate that we are having to start a kind of an entrepreneurial journey in new value-added chemicals. So forgive me if I am unable to provide precise details on each of the sub-segments, but we know for sure that it is a good area for us to be in. It will give us a good payback, and this will set a good foundation for us over the next several years, you know, maybe 3 to 8 years of building a good value-added chemical business.
Right. And sir, what has been the dividend from the Clariant JV for this financial year, sir? What is the dividend amount we have received?
So, Saket, till now, basically the dividend or the interest repayment from the loan which both the companies have rest over there is being remitted to us. And till now, only one quarter interest has been received by us in this financial year. And the rest of the 6 months interest would be received by the June quarter. No dividend has been given right now, and this is being reinvested in the business in JV.
And sir, for this new chemical segment, we will be partnering with Clariant, or it will be a solo work done by India Glass?
I mentioned this earlier, Saket, that the new value-added chemicals that I am talking about here is the non-compete area with respect to the JV and something that IGL is working on separately. This is not overlapping with the JV.
Right. And last point, I missed also about the coke part of the intake of bio-MEG from the coke of Coca-Cola. I'm missing that also. That has been terminated, or has that the quantity being reduced? You were explaining something to the earlier participant.
So that has been, the coke volumes have, as I mentioned, quite significantly reduced.
Okay. So, and you mentioned the reason also, I missed that part also. I mean, how are we trying to replace that volume with whom? It was at a significant premium also, if I'm not wrong. Depending upon the prices, we need to get a premium on the sale.
Yes, we get a premium. And coke was one of our first customers for bio-based MEG, not for MEG, but who gave a premium based on bio-based MEG for manufacturing PET bottles for coke. Now, the reason why coke is moving away from this for the time being is the mandates on them to use recycled PET, okay, in the US and other places. However, the need for sustainable materials or greener materials, there is only increasing demand and awareness, though slow and steady. As a result, we have built a number of small customers, mainly in Japan, Taiwan, which are in number areas. They are for polyester, they are for PET, they are for other areas. And fortunately, from 80% plus business with Coke, we are now more than 80% business with the others. And over, you know, 10 or 15 customers, which is a good thing, right? And we believe that our diversification and steady growth with these customers will continue.
And the margins are also similar?
Yes, the short answer is yes.
Okay. So in nutshell, if I could conclude that we have laid the foundation, sir, for the growth, or if we may use India Glycols version 2.0, taking into account what the company is now planning to do in terms of diversifying, de-risking its business model, and trying to take growth into stride along with the profitability. This is what the message is towards it.
That's my job of summarizing, and you could state it much more confidently. I have to be more conservative. Thank you for interpreting that as a strategy for IGL. I agree with you. You know, your understanding is completely right. We believe that's the way forward for IGL.
Thank you, sir, and all the best to the team. Thank you, Narsha.
Thank you very much. You probably asked the maximum number of last questions, Saket, on the
second notice. Okay, sir. Thank you for accommodating me, and sir. Thank you, sir. One second.
Thank you, Mr. Kapoor. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Okay. So I think Saket has done my job a little bit in terms of giving a positive outlook in terms of how we see the days ahead. But it will be only fair, you know, we've lived in times. Look, we've not seen that for 100 years what happened in terms of COVID. Then there is the war. Then there is unexpected, unprecedented escalations in energy costs and so on and so forth. I would assume as a normal human being that these things are not going to stay forever. You know, and the medium term to longer term outlook as well as strategy should stay intact. Our focus continues to be on creating more value-added products, be it through the portable spirits portfolio or value-added chemicals portfolio, and so on and so forth. With that, you know, thank you very much for your suggestions, patiently asking your questions. Also, from time to time, many of you have been encouraging to us. You know, greatly appreciate that and your good wishes. And by the way, now I am in Delhi. Most of you are in Mumbai. Yeah, you know, and this time I brought rains with me, so it probably rained in Delhi before Mumbai. Is it true? So it's been raining here very nicely.
Now, Bombay, the rains has not started.
So that's all. Thank you from my side. I think it was not a two-way conversation. Enjoy the monsoons. We'll see you again. Hopefully, we will try and live up to expectations as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, members of the management team and Mr. Jain. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.